Thank you, David, for your comments during the worship introduction and also for your reading of the scripture. And now that we have heard the scripture, I invite you to come with me and sort of imagine what it would have been like for Matthew to have heard those words for the first time. Surely his first reaction is, Jesus is alive, and the Jesus movement is not over. But he probably spent some time looking back as well to his own experience of what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. Think of Matthew now, sitting at the tax collector's booth at the time when Jesus comes along, traveling from his hometown into Capernaum, and sees Matthew there. And he says to him, follow me. Can you imagine Matthew's stunned reaction? Who? Me? And you'll understand why he'd have that kind of response when you read further in Matthew 9, where Jesus is with Matthew and his tax collector friends for dinner in Matthew's house. And there are Pharisees, leaders of the church tradition, asking his disciples, why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus overhears this and says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And so from the very beginning of Matthew being a disciple, he's aware that God's grace has chosen him. He has been chosen. Yes, he's at the bottom of the social heap, because being a tax collector was like being a Ukrainian recruiting Russian soldiers. This man is betraying our people by funding the colonizers. Matthew never forgot that. Let's just go a little further. Matthew remembers the time when Jesus put together from those disciples who were following him a team of 12 whom he called apostles. And he sent them out on a mission where he said, only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Don't go to the Gentiles. And I'm giving you authority to heal, to preach, to drive out demons. Now, you're going to face lots of rejection. But just remember that whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. So if people host you in their homes, it's like hosting me. They'll surely get a reward, a prophet's reward. Even the one who gives a cup of water to one of these least disciples. Yeah, that's me, Matthew is saying. That person is going to get his reward. It wasn't long before Matthew was hearing it all the time. Jesus is like a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And to that, Jesus responded by saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy fitting, my burden is fitted light just for you. They kept complaining about tax collectors. And Jesus reminded them that when John the baptizer called people to repent, to be baptized, It was the prostitutes and tax collectors who came first. They came into the kingdom of God before the Jewish priests. Ah, the grace of being called, the grace of being on a team, the grace of speaking for Jesus. Matthew will never forget it. Now, Matthew also is looking forward. He's hearing these words of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Yes, Dave, what does it mean to make disciples? Well, first of all, Matthew understands that in order to make disciples, you have to be a disciple. And to be a disciple is to be in the yoke with Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to be able to imitate Jesus, to walk in the way of Jesus, to ask the kind of questions that Jesus would ask. Now, Matthew also hears Jesus speaking about making disciples and baptizing them and teaching. But I want us to notice that when Jesus gave this saying, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore as you go, make disciples." That phrase, "make disciples," is the only imperative verb. It's the one thing he's calling them to do. Baptizing and teaching, that stuff just goes with it. But the main thing is to call people to be disciples. That is, first of all, to be a disciple, living under the reign of God, and then inviting other people to join you in living under the reign of God. You can't really tell people to do something that you're not showing them how to do. That's what Matthew understood. He'd been walking with Jesus. He'd been speaking for Jesus. But there's a whole new emphasis that Matthew's hearing here, perhaps for the first time. Make disciples of all nations. Well, that word nations throws us for a loop, because in the Greek it's the word ethne, peoples. Make disciples of all peoples, people groups, ethnic groups. So here, the boundary goes way beyond that initial mission trip that Jesus commissioned Matthew and the other 11 to go on. When he said, just go to the lost sheep of Israel, now he's commissioning them to take the Jesus movement to the ends of the earth. And tradition says that Matthew responded by going to Ethiopia. I don't know, but that's what Christian tradition says, that he went to Ethiopia to share that news. What he was really saying, what Jesus was really saying was, don't restrict disciple-making to your own little group. Share yours with all people groups, people who aren't like you. Yeah, tax collectors, publicans, sinners, prostitutes, all the ones named in the gospel as folks who are on the bottom of the heap, who weren't in line to be chosen to be on the team to lead the Jewish religion. And I'm reminded that when Matthew quotes Jesus about loving even your enemies, he says, if you just love the people who love you, even tax collectors do that. Yes, I'm sure Matthew heard that. Even tax collectors love people who love them. But you're called to love people, to make disciples of every people group. And then Jesus gives a promise. The promise is, and I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I'm reminded that Matthew is the only one who spoke about the name, the special name of Jesus at his birth. What was it? Emmanuel, which means God with us. And some of us take this principle to be the unifying principle of the entire Bible, that God is with God's people. God is with us. But it had special meaning for Matthew, because just a few weeks after Matthew heard this, he is in an upper room with the other 10 disciples. There's 11 of them now, having lost Judas along the way. And that's the day Sarah preached about last Sunday, that feast of Pentecost, when God chose to show up with the Holy Spirit. And it came like flames of fire and rested on each of these 12. And we take this as a sign of the Spirit that came into them, the Spirit, the breath. And Matthew realized that God's Spirit is like our very own breath, as close as our very own breath. As we breathe in and out, we breathe God's presence with us. Now, that day of Pentecost, special things happened. That breath, that wind, that Spirit came with gifts, spiritual gifts. And we hear about it in the rest of the Bible. That's the Greek word charism, where we have the English word charismatic. But I like to call these charisms, these little gifts that are spoken of, as gracelets. They're God's grace shown to us in these different kinds of way coming into our lives. And beginning in Acts and the rest of the New Testament, we see how Matthew and that circle of disciples followed through on what Jesus told them to do that day on that mountain in Galilee. If you read Acts carefully, you notice it so clearly. What you see is moving from a core of 12 disciples to a core of several hundred disciples to 3,000 disciples to many more. This circle is expanding. And that's what they're called, disciples. They're in the way of Jesus. To be in the circle of disciples is to belong, with all the nations, is to belong to the nation of Jesus, where it's Jesus first. Yeah, let's make the reign of God great again by having Jesus first. That's the nation we belong to, Jesus first. And that's how they lived. That's what it means to be a disciple. Now, this call that we heard this morning to make disciples of all nations echoes right down here to Zion Mennonite Church today. It's the call to be disciples, to come to Jesus, to be yoked with Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to be a follower of the Jesus way, to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Better yet, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? To know that way, and to constantly listen to the voice of the Spirit inside us, Jesus' presence, Christ in you, the hope of glory, as the Apostle Paul put it. Now, in listening to the Great Commission, we have participated along with many others in the Mennonite movement in taking the good news to foreign places. And I'm here to confess that it hasn't always looked like the Jesus way. Sometimes we've been primarily interested in making people look more like us, to think like us, to be like us, well, to smell like us, well, whatever. In other words, to imitate us in ways that sometimes denied the grace of God for them. I confess for myself, there have been times when I didn't think I needed God's grace very much. Just like those folks who criticized Jesus for choosing a tax collector who didn't come to God through John the Baptist because they thought they knew enough. They knew more than John. The folks who followed Jesus knew they needed God. They needed Jesus. And so I'm here this morning to confess, I need Jesus. You need Jesus. That's the grace of God. And by grace, I'm speaking about all of the ways that God works through us, by God's presence, by God's rest, by God's peace, by God's healing, by God's forgiveness. All of those are ways we experience the grace of discipleship. You can't make disciples by urging people to live on their own battery power. They'll soon drain out. We need the grace of God to infuse us to be the people who be and make disciples. So let me end with the expression that Matthew ended with from the Native American way of saying it. Aho! May it be so.